What Is This Indeed. This is actually quite an episode of What Is This, isn't it, Peter Lynham?
Hello there.
How's it going?
Hello, how are you going?
Great.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you, yes, very
good. Okay, perfect. What are we chatting about this evening? We're taking it to Australia.
Yes, because somebody sent me a note about a very interesting fact of this Mandaean community in Australia that lives in large numbers in the west of Sydney and have been incredibly seriously affected by COVID-19. And there have been a series of deaths and a lot of hospitalizations. And it really made me think about how minority communities can be, you know, shockingly affected by COVID-19. So I guess I need to explain who I'm talking about.
Yes, it sounds like quite an insular community.
Yeah, so the Mandaean community present themselves as the followers of John the Baptist, who was preaching at the time of Jesus. There's a lot of reasons to be a bit suspicious of this claim, but what we do know is this is a very ancient Middle Eastern community of very tiny numbers. They reckon at its high point probably had about 70,000 people, but they had the misfortune to be living in Iraq and Iran, not renowned as places which are nice places to live.
When was the high point? Late 70s? Seems to be the heyday of following stuff.
Maybe so, maybe because under oh my goodness, I've even forgotten the name of the Iraqi ruler who was thrown away. But under the period under Iraqian rule, when it was peaceful, even though aggressive in some ways, in fact, that was a relatively secular government, relatively tolerant. But then the series of grotesque events that have happened in Iraq since the 1980s, picking off the minority communities has become quite a habit of various regimes in Iraq. And as for Iran, the Mandaeans have had an impossible situation ever since Khomeini seized control of Iran. So now, the manifest injustice of this is that actually in the Quran itself, the Mandaeans are mentioned and the Muslim community is told to treat them peacefully. Muhammad or whoever wrote the Quran had a very clear recognition that not only were they, like the Jews and the Christians, peoples of the book who could be allowed to survive so long as they paid a higher tax rate, but in fact, the Mandaeans were more than that. They were closely kin to Muslims and so shouldn't have to pay the extra tax. So that enabled the Mandaeans to survive as this tiny little community who appeared to be, well, the technical word is a bit like the Manichaeans or Zoroastrians. They're Gnostics. They believe in a world of light and dark, which are absolutely opposed to each other. And the light and the dark struggle within people.
Mm-hmm.
And so their viewpoint is monotheist of a kind, but tending towards a kind of dualism. You need to look up the Mandaean website to find the details. Now, from the 1980s and 90s, they were recognized by people in the West as needing special protection. And so there were lines by which they could emigrate out. And it seems like about 35,000 or so have managed to escape into various places. And the strongest place that they've gone was probably about 10,000 in Australia. Apparently, there are some in New Zealand, but I went searching in the census and I can find no indication of where they were. I think they're just so few in New Zealand. But maybe your listeners know of them. It would be very interesting.
How do you spell it?
M-A-N-D-A-E-A-N. Mandaean.
It's a weird one because it sounds like, well, why did they go to Sydney? Is it just a good bit of land up there? Somebody was like, yep, sweet. It has all these like It always rings to me if it's quite small. It rings to me like a cult situation. Like, oh, you've got some land over here. Everyone come down here to this community. And then it's like...
Well...
Like, at what step? What are the numbers you get to before it's like an actual religion? You go from cult to religion. There must be like a tipping point there. Kind of like a hill and a mountain. You know what I mean?
Yes. I mean, I think quite clearly they are a religion, not a cult. But if it's so tiny... Mm. Then nobody's heard of them, nobody provides them recognition.
Yep.
In New Zealand, we do recognise and record figures for the Zoroastrians, which is another tiny little group, similarly from Iraq and Iran, and probably in some ways connected to the Mandaeans in the sense that they're both Gnostic in their background. So I think it's just that there are so few. And the other thing is, how do they practice this religion? Because all the traditions of the Mandaeans require priests, but there's no way now to make priests for the religion. So effectively, the Mandaeans slowly are being absorbed into Australian culture, but they live together in the western parts of Sydney.
Have they found like another religion that they can kind of piggyback off and sort of just be in their own little zone? You know what I mean? Yeah, is there like another...
Well, as I said, the Zoroastrians are very sympathetic to them. And in some ways, I think they're surviving by just keeping up various distinctive practices. They do use a number of practices that sound like Christian practices.
Right.
So baptism and various types of rituals that sound, recognizing a holy day and so on and so forth.
A few tweaks here and there. But
Yes, but a lot of them. It's simply just passed down. We're Mandaeans, and they scarcely know what it is.
Right, of course. Religion.
But because they live closely together as a community, I mean, it's precisely these communities that have been vulnerable to COVID, because in social gatherings, that's where they hold together their community.
Mm.
And the families, clearly in Sydney, were very closely knit, and so the awful thing that's happened is that these communities have been massively affected.
Do you think there's an element of, oh, we're safe in our community, and they sort of carry on, and they're sort of, the mindset is we're safe, but then everyone's still going out to buy things and stuff, so there's still contact with the outside world, but people that aren't in a religion like that are kind of living in the outside world by default. They're not, there's not a shroud of, we're safe, I've got my little community. Do you think there's a laxness in religion?
Well,
in
a little
sense?
Bit of laxness, yeah. But I think a strong community resources are what drives people together in times of crisis. And I mean, you can see it in the same way that the Samoan AOG community, you know, that they didn't do anything wrong as such. But because they were, you know, in a close community and with a very tight tight communal experience, I'm sure that the church service would have included food and sharing and being together.
There just seems to be like a vibe, if I'm to look at it from the extremely religious point of view, that this problem is one for the damned, you know, like everyone's out there just, oh, it's because you don't have religion, you know, and so there is like that sort of looking at the outside world, but they're actually in it as well. And
yes, indeed. They certainly are not invulnerable.
Yeah.
And I think what's happened in all of the outbreaks, religious communities have actually featured.
Mm.
And that's because, I guess, being together in a closed room for a lengthy period is the surest way to get the virus.
Right.
And so, you know, one sneeze can pass something on from one to the other. And I would assume that's what's happened with the Mandaeans. The other thing is, of course, that Sydney has observed it, you know, very slow to have a tight lockdown. And so very, very quickly, the disease spread, and the normal requirements that would have happened in New Zealand didn't happen in Sydney.
Were they vaccinated as well, do we know?
Pardon?
Are they into getting vaccinated in this religion?
I didn't catch what you said, sorry.
Somebody's texted. Interesting. Were they vaccinated?
I would assume not well vaccinated.
Mm.
And I think it's also true that minority communities are often quite hesitant because they don't have it translated into their language. They'd be speaking Syrian,
right,
as the language that they would speak probably mostly. And so there'd only be a few, probably the younger members, who would understand what was going on. And often in religious communities, the elders make the decisions. And so all sorts of factors must have meant that the Mandaean community was vulnerable. But, you know, this is incredibly tragic, because when a community is hit so hard, and the report that came from Sydney it implied that they've felt as though everything was going. You know, they had come so far to find safety, so far to find security, and now they were being eaten up by a disease which they didn't understand and weren't ready for.
I read a short piece on ABC Australia, and someone from the community had said that misinformation was absolutely rife within their particular crew of people.
And yes, so that would be precisely what would happen.
Mm.
Are you still there?
Yes. We're still here.
Just thinking about communities within communities that are kind of like not attached to each other, which is kind of a bummer. Like, then what's the link
there?
And
when their language is, you know, quite different.
Yeah.
And all these factors make it so, so tricky.
Mm.
And so I think we need to understand just how vulnerable and how nervous communities from outside are when things like this are going on.
Yes.
And the world feels to them, you know, they've probably never fully felt at home in Australia.
Mm.
And so I think it gave me, when I heard that story, some understanding of what the Samoan AOG community must be going through with their experience of kind of shame, I guess, through no fault of their own.
Yes. It's tough.
Yeah, sad story.
Mm.
Interesting. Thanks very much, Peter, for another fantastic That's the Spirit. We'll catch you next Monday.
Look forward to it.